ahead and say that this is our interview for our History 580 course on the archives. First question, what is the date and time?
October 9th and 2020, and it's 11:20 Mountain Time.
What are the primary things you do on a day-to-day basis?
I work full-time, and I teach 2 online classes, and I'm also home with my son, who's in high school, and I help him with his schoolwork.
When did you first learn about COVID-19, and what were your thoughts about it?
I think it, like, maybe back in, like, February or March. I can't remember exactly what month, but it was just watching it over the news happening in China, and then as it spread throughout the world and the different countries. What my thoughts were was that it was very scary to just watch it all play out, like I said, over the news, and seeing how it affected everybody, and seeing countries and towns and cities just shut down and the streets empty, and hearing about all the people who are dying.
And how have your thoughts changed since then?
Not too much, because I still feel that it frightens me every day, because there's still a lot of people now here in the United States who are dying, and still all over the world. It's still affecting a lot of people, and it doesn't seem like it's going away anytime soon. I guess that would be my thought, or maybe a way of me thinking of it differently, is when it came here, they were talking about maybe it lasting for 2 months. We're going to go on lockdown. It's going to last for 2 months if everyone does what they're supposed to do, and then it'll be gone. So I guess being 6 months, 7 months later, it hasn't stopped and it hasn't gone away. So now it's like I'm more like uncertain of when is it going to stop.
What issues have most concerned you about the COVID-19 pandemic?
I guess just getting ill and giving it to my family is what I think what most frightens me, because my son stays at home. He doesn't, you know, leave the house. My partner, he does work, but he is in his own space and he's not around people. I work from home, but I do come into the office occasionally, maybe like once a week. And I do, you know, pick up groceries and order groceries. So I think like I'm the person who would be a little bit more at risk of getting it from somebody, having contact with it. So it's just, that's what's most worrisome for me, is I'm going to probably be the one who would bring it home to my family.
Has COVID-19 affected your job, and in what ways?
I'm still working full time, but it has affected it. The program overall, I work for an artist in resident program, and each semester we bring in around 6 artists onto the campus, and they work in the studio. So now that COVID has happened, our campus is closed to outside visitors, and there's only a handful of students who are on campus and who are living on campus. So we had to change our program and still bring in artists, but they're more of like a virtual artist, so they either work at their own studio in their hometown, and they create work there, and we send them the funds to do that. But they're, I guess, we're used to having like events on campus for the students, the faculty, and for the outside community. We host like open studios. They give lectures to courses. So now we're finding ways how to connect the instructors and the IA community to these artists, but it's all virtual. So it's just been a lot of like having to organize and plan and think of different creative ways on how to connect our community with these artists. And I also an adjunct for the museum studies program here. And my two classes are online. So some students are having a hard time adjusting to online courses because they're usually used to in-person classes. So that's affected it that way as well, as everything's been moved online. And it's just finding different ways how to interact with them and have an understanding for students who maybe not might not understand how to use it yet.
What concerns do you have about the effects of COVID-19 on your employment and the economy?
Thankfully, it hasn't affected the school or the program. We still have, our program is funded through grants, and so far it hasn't been affected by it, but it is scary to think that it could be, especially if this thing, you know, keeps continuing. But I think it hasn't, I haven't really like thought too much about it. And as far as the economy, it is scary. It's scary to see that there's a lot of people who don't have jobs and they're unable to feed their families or pay their rent or their mortgage. So that's difficult to see what's happening to everybody else.
Has the COVID-19 pandemic affected the employment of people you know, and in what ways?
I think the only person that I know that it has affected would be one of my friends. When this first started, she works at a hospital, and they cut her hours to like part-time. I think she was only working like twice a week or 2 days out of the week. And I know that was hard for her because she had just purchased like a brand new house and her husband doesn't work and they have a daughter. So I know that she did have to go on unemployment to make up for the other 3 days that she wasn't working. So that was real stressful for her. But now she's back to work full time.
How has COVID-19 affected you and your family's day-to-day activities?
I guess the hardest part is my son, he is diagnosed with OCD. And before this, I mean, with OCD, it's different for everybody. And they focus on different things, I guess. But for him, he's always focused on germs, getting sick, dying. So like that was already part of his daily worries. And it could be difficult to manage. So it was always like a process with him. But since this happened, it just, because it is germs and illness and death, it just like skyrocketed his concerns and his condition. So that was very difficult to deal with. Because when the schools got out, for the first couple of months when he was home, he wouldn't even go outside. And where we live, we have neighbors, but we live like in a rural part of Santa Fe. So we don't have like close neighbors. So I'm like, you're not going to get it. There's like a lot of open space, but he still wouldn't go even outside. So it took him a couple of months just to be brave enough to go outside. So now he's able to go outside and go for walks and do things like that. But he will not like go into town. And I'm like, let's just get in the car and like go for a drive. We don't have to like go anywhere, but let's just, you know, go up to a drive, like up to the mountain and just, you know, get out of the house. You need to like leave this property. But he won't, he hasn't. So that's difficult to see him, I guess, suffering a little bit more with his condition. And like when I do leave, he's very like strict and he has all of these like rules that everybody in the house has to sort of like follow. So when I get home, like I order the groceries, I don't like go into a grocery store. So I, you know, order the groceries online and I go and I pick them up and then I bring them home and I have to like wipe everything with like Clorox wipes. And then I can bring them in the house and like the mail has to be like sprayed and outside for like 3 days before I can bring it inside. So he has like all of these different little rules and it's very difficult because like I understand that like there could be germs on packages and whatnot, but it's just like he's like overseeing the whole household because he doesn't want to get sick. So it's difficult to see him, I guess, suffer, and it's also difficult to see to have to follow all of his rules that he has for me, his mother. His dad can't like go in his room, and like sometimes he'll let me go in his room and I have to come home and like wash my hands, and depending where I'm at I have to like go change my clothes. And it's just, I mean, I understand, but it's just really worsened his issue.
How are you managing day-to-day activities in your household?
I think just, I guess, trying to find balance between everything. Because I think now I'm like a stay-at-home mom, a teacher for my son, a student, and an employee, a full-time employee. So it's just like, yes, I was that before, but not as well, because like I came to work and my son went to school, and then if he had homework, he had a tutor that would help him with that after school, so I can do like my work, my homework, or work. And now it's like all of that is on me. So it's just having to find time to do everything, which I don't feel that I have. And it just seems like the days and the hours and the weeks and the months just fly by, and I still don't have enough time for anything. So I guess just trying to find the balance of everything. I'm still trying to figure that out.
Has the COVID-19 outbreak affected how you associate and communicate with friends and family, and in what ways?
I guess it has, because I see people still, like friends and family, you know, like going and eating at restaurants and getting together for like, you know, small gatherings for like birthdays. But we don't do that. So like seeing like my close family probably are, like, I think like the last time I saw my grandpa was for Christmas. And the same for my aunt. I mean, we were really close. She's like close to my age. And you know, we always hung out and to things. And same, the last time I saw her was probably for Christmas. So it's just no, I guess there's no meeting. And they've had things, like they had a birthday. My grandpa's birthday was in July. They had a little small dinner for him. But, you know, we don't go to it. And the same for, I guess, like Mike's mom, like when this first started, like we took her packages to like her house. So we saw her from like her window, things like that. But now we haven't been to her house or even taken her anything. It's been like months. So that's difficult, you know, not to see people, your loved ones. I think that's the biggest thing.
What have been the biggest challenges that you have faced during the COVID-19 outbreak?
I think that the biggest challenges is just, like I mentioned, having to support and handle my son's OCD, and just, you know, giving him support and reassurance and understanding of, you know, his condition. And I know it's like, it's hard for me to have to understand how he's feeling and do all of his little rules for us, but it must be more difficult for him with, 'cause he's having to live with what these fears, like, in his own mind and body. So I think that's probably the biggest challenge I'm facing.
What have you, your family, and friends done for recreation during COVID-19?
I guess nothing really. Like, we go outside and we just like hang out in our yard and play with the dog and take him for walks, and but we don't really like do anything, I guess, other than that.
How has the COVID-19 outbreak affected your community? And by community, I mean school, church, job, any community that you may belong to.
I think the biggest way it's affected us is not being around other people. And not having, I guess, that like human contact from your family and friends.
How are people around you responding to the COVID-19 pandemic?
I think it just sort of like varies. I think some people that I know think, you know, take it like they think it's serious, and others not so much. But I think a lot of people are taking precautions.
Have you seen people around you change their opinions, their day-to-day activities, or relationships in response to the pandemic?
I think so. I think maybe people, like when it first started, they took it serious, and now they're sort of like relaxing a little bit. And I think that would be like the biggest change is, you know, before before they took it really serious, and they were worried and scared. And now it's sort of like everybody just wants everything to like reopen, or they feel nicer, they're feeling a little bit more free to go places and stuff like that.
I think I know the answer to this next one, but self-isolation and flattening the curve have been two key ideas that have emerged during the pandemic. How have you, your family, and friends, and your community responded to requests of self-isolation to flatten the curve?
Well, for me, yes, we have. We don't go anywhere. and I think I'm okay with that. Like, at first it was kind of like, and it can still be difficult. I mean, like, there's days that, yes, I do want to go to like a restaurant and eat and not have to cook like breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and just eat somebody else's food, because I'm already tired of having to cook, and I just want something different. So I mean, there are hard days, but for the most part, like, we're okay just staying at home. But yeah, I do believe that it could flatten the curve.
Has COVID-19 changed your relationships with family, friends, and community, and in what ways?
I mean, I think the only thing that it has changed with my family is we're not able to get together and see each other as much as we probably would like to. I know for Mike, he's had a little falling out with his brother, because his brother believes that it's, I don't know if it's maybe not, I don't know if he doesn't think it's not real or if it's not serious, but he just basically like lives his life like how he would normally. I mean, just like going out with friends and people and not social distancing or whatever, which is fine, because, you know, that's his belief, and we don't judge people, I guess, on like, well, you should XYZ. We're not like that. But he's the opposite, because he, you know, gives Mike a hard time and tells him that it's not serious, or it's not real like what they're saying it is. And I guess him not going to certain things, us not going to certain things, for some reason has bothered his brother, and it just sort of like put a strain on their relationship to where they're not like speaking. And it's been probably a couple months since they've spoken to one another, because we're understanding of, you know, if he wants to go and do whatever, like, that's fine, that's his choice, but we choose not to attend things or go to things because that's how we choose to live, but he can't understand that, so it caused some tension between them.
Have you or anyone you know gotten sick during the COVID-19 outbreak, and what has been your experience in responding to the sickness?
I don't know anybody like personally, like close to me, who has gotten sick. The only person that I didn't know this person, but my aunt's husband, his mother, who lives in Mexico, got sick from it, and she did pass away, and they weren't able to go and see her when she was sick. They weren't able to travel over there, but I didn't know her personally, and I don't know anybody personally who was sick from the virus.
In what ways do you think COVID-19 is affecting people's mental health and or physical health?
I think for some people, it's adding extra stress. Like my son was one instance that I've already talked about. I know for me, like there's days where I feel so overwhelmed with everything that's happening, and not being able to control it, that I'm not able to like function properly, if that makes sense, or like forget simple things, like how to, or just even like how to like do basic math, like just, you know what I mean? Like it just, like it's affecting like my brain for some reason. Like the other day I was cooking dinner and it was like a cultural dish that my grandma made. And I've seen her make it like 1,001 times, and she taught it to me, and I've made it 1,001 times, and I was cooking it for dinner, and I couldn't remember like how to cook it. I couldn't, like I started it, but I couldn't remember. And then like, I was like, because I couldn't remember, I just got stuck in this weird place. And then I like went into some sort of like panic on like, why can't I remember? And how am I going to cook dinner? And for the life of me, I couldn't figure it out. And then dinner sucked. And then, and then the next day I was like, oh yeah, I remember now. But see, like simple things like that. And I don't know like what's triggering it. If it's just like constant stress and constant like survival mode, if it's just like affecting the way my brain is working. Like even with our like weekly meetings, like there's some days like I'm just sitting there and I'm able to participate and answer questions. And then there's other days where I'm like, I can't even put like a sentence together and I don't even know what's coming out of my mouth. So it's just, I don't know. And I don't know why this is happening to me, but so that's my own, I think, how it's affecting me.
What have been your primary sources of news during the pandemic?
Probably just like the news channels that come on, like newspapers and stuff like that. I was never really big on watching the news in the first place, before this happened, because there's just a lot of like negativity and awful things happening in the world that the news shows. And yes, it's important to know like what's happening, but I think it really affects my mental health, like to just constantly watch like kids getting murdered or stolen or killed by their parents, or just people, their families being broken up at the border. I mean, this is all very important, but I can't expose myself to it too much because it makes me physically ill. So I read and watch the news like occasionally, so I don't do it too much, but just, yeah. So that's basically just, yeah.
Have your news sources changed during the course of the pandemic?
No.
What do you think are important issues that the media may or may not be covering?
I think a lot of the news is and everything surrounding the pandemic is political. What is our president doing and what is he not doing and XYZ. So I think it's very political. We know people are suffering from it, but I don't think that they're representing how this is affecting like the everyday person, how people are losing their jobs, how people are dying, how our health care system is not working for them, health insurance. Are people going to be left with like $1 million medical bills? Who's paying for this? So I think we're not hearing about everyday people. I think it's very political. And I think there needs to be a balance between it because everybody's affected by it.
How have municipal leaders and government officials in your community responded to the outbreak?
I think our governor has actually been really good about it. I mean, well, from my point of view anyways, because she has closed down like restaurants and businesses that aren't essential. I guess to sort of like stop the spread of it. But then I, you know, there's also the other end of people who believe that what she did killed our economy, and closed down businesses, which I'm sure, it has, it has affected small businesses and restaurants. But I think for a while there, New Mexico was doing really well. With their numbers, it has risen, has went up probably the past couple of months, I think, because things started to open and the different holidays and people getting together. But I know that there are some people who are upset that the state was closed down for such a long time. So I think it's just, it depends on your own opinion of it.
Do you have any thoughts on how local, state, or federal leaders are responding to the crisis differently?
I just think that it's, as a nation, we're not cohesive. I see different state governors in different states having different policies, which I know that they're allowed to do. They're allowed to govern their own state. I understand that. But I think that it's because we are not cohesive and we're not one, it's very confusing for people. And I think it's also confusing because the president himself doesn't really like, when this whole thing came out, it was like a hoax. It wasn't serious, but it is serious. A lot of people have died, and I think that's not being acknowledged. Just even with like the whole mask wearing thing. So I think that's like, we don't have like a real leadership, I guess, to be like, this is what we need to do. You know, this is serious. This is what we need to do. Like, all of us need to be like together and help combat this and fight it. So I think because of that, it's caused even more tension within groups. You see people fighting over who's wearing a mask and who's not wearing a mask, and people fighting, physically fighting each other, killing each other over masks. And I think that's because it's it's not clear, like, yes, like, wear a mask. Even like when he got out of the hospital, you know, it was like, oh, I feel like better than I did 20 years ago, and don't let it life and blah, blah, blah. So again, there it's like causing division between people who want to live on opposite ways of life, you know? So I think it's just not, we're not together. We're very divided. And I think that's, it's sad to see that happening, especially now, because we should be together and supporting each other.
Has your experience transformed how you think about your family, friends, and your community, and in what ways?
I guess not too much. I guess being not able to visit with my family and friends, it's made me like maybe appreciate them a little bit more. Not, you know, I did always appreciate them, but like appreciate them even more because I'm not able to spend time with them and laugh and hang out and enjoy good food and just whatever. But think of them differently. I don't think so. And I think as far as transforming maybe how I view my own life, like what's important to me. Like maybe I thought, like before this, I thought like one thing was more important or very important. And now, you know, being at home and seeing sort of like the world fall apart and people die, it sort of like did change my perspective on what is important and what's not.
How does this pandemic compare to other big events that have happened in your lifetime?
I really can't compare it because I've experienced things before. I don't really know how to compare.
What do you hope your life is like in a year?
I guess I hope I don't lose any friends or family members to this. I hope that all of this stress and trouble and worrying brings something, a new lesson to me, a new way of life. And hopefully I can go on vacation and eat at a restaurant.
Knowing what you know now, what do you think that individuals, communities, or governments need to keep in mind for the future?
I guess to be prepared. And have a plan and know how to address, like for the leaders, like how to address your community. Because I think like when this happened, everybody like went into like panic mode. And I think that's understandable, because if we don't have a leader who is strong and can not make us feel better, but have an understanding of like, okay, this awful thing is happening right now. This is what we have planned out. This is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to handle this. I don't think that there would have been so much panic. Of course, there is. I mean, there's always going to be panic and worrying and whatnot, but maybe not as much. I mean, like just watching like grocery stores being empty and people fighting over toilet paper. And like I was worried, but I didn't feel like I needed to just go and buy everything up. And it was just weird to see, like, it felt like the world was coming to an end, you know? So I think if we had better leadership and we had a plan and we had someone to, I guess, tell us like, this is what's going to happen, it would have been not so, that wouldn't have happened, so much panic. So just being, I guess, be prepared. And that makes me see how I need to be prepared in the future as well.
Thank you for that. That was the last question. And I just remembered